This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 343. The way you play games today is the way that you'll play them tomorrow.
Naked?
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we've got a brand new episode of our weekly podcast for you guys. How are you doing, Panda?
I'm hot.
It is a little warm. You know what else is hot, though?
Me.
I said, what else is hot?
But I meant it in a different context that time.
Oh, yeah? And the context that you mentioned it was like what?
Like, smexy.
I was going to actually go towards our website where you can find our written reviews, which is www.egmnow.com.
Yeah, that's pretty hot.
/ Electric Sisterhood.
Yeah.
That's where you go to find our written stuff, and it's like the dopest spot on the internet.
It's so fresh to death, it's killing me.
It really is.
Straight up jacked me for my money.
We did not have to name it Northwest for you guys to know where it's at.
Oh, even
though... Yeah, I did that. I did that.
Is it more Northeast?
Well, I mean, yeah, we are, but the home base of where the written stuff isn't. It's actually Northwest. So, I was kind of right, and you didn't even have to blow up my spot like that.
I know.
Because you could have just let it go.
Honestly, I think now Frank Ocean has to have two kids and name one Pacific and one Atlantic. Just because he can.
Well, obviously, everyone can. I mean, I thought the worst name for a celebrity child, to be honest with you, was Apple.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, even when Nick Cage named his kid Kal-El, I was like, okay, but you're nerdy and, you know, that's Superman's real name and you want to have a super child. Like, I could stretch my logic to go there, but really? Northwest? Really? Really? Is your child an airline? I don't think so. I really don't think so. And that was just dumb. And you are dumb for doing that.
Because now it's going to have child books, like Northwest Travels East.
You know, it's just the amount of
Northwest
just,
goes south?
Like, dude, those tweets already hit. Like, seriously. I don't care that you're going to call your baby Nori. You're basically calling your baby Seaweed now.
See, I would be like Nori Ega.
Couldn't you have just named her something with a K? You know,
well,
like...
I had a thought with this with a friend of mine because we brought it up the other night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, for one, even though the kid is like half a Kardashian, but then he didn't marry into Kardashians to become one, so that would make sense to make it a K West. Cause
but you could do it as a K West. You just shouldn't do it as a KH, right? Because you know you've got Chloe that's KH, and then you know, you got Kim, that's a K, but both of the parents, their names legit begin with K, so I would have been okay if you had done, like, a normal-ish, because you got Kanye and you got Kim, so you got Kanye that's, like, way out there, like, African, and then you got Kim, which is, like, ridiculously European,
and then
so you could have met someplace in the middle.
And named her Caitlyn?
You know, with a K, or, you know, hell, Khadija, Kathy? Khaleesa, I don't, you know, something that meant something.
Obama-niqua.
You know, pick a...
K. Bamaniqua.
Kanish. I don't care. Like, but North, really? Really? My people. We should be disappointed in this. But I'm glad that the baby's doing well. Healthy. That's a good thing. And, you know, when she's 16, she'll probably change her name her damn self. So, let's move along.
Like, I can't believe my mom named me North.
I can't believe my mom let my dad name me North. Because you know that was not Kim's idea.
Hey, Mom, what's this tape?
I don't care how good... I don't care how good the epidural was. You know that was not Kim's
idea.
Like,
that's not my daddy. Who's that? Well, he could have been your daddy.
If he had just stopped fucking up, he probably would have been your daddy. But moving right along, let's get into the stuff that we do normally talk about, which is our-ish Video games, tech gadgets, and anime. And while I don't have a gadget this week, I know, Panda, you're actually working on
a gadget review. I'm working on a gadget piece.
Great peripheral stuff.
Go gadget peripherals.
That's coming out, so that'll be fun. But we got video game talk, guys, this week. I will do one quick promo, though, on the anime side. If you have an Apple TV, if you're living under a rock or you haven't turned it on in a while to do an update, you want to do the update on the Apple TV, because this past week, HBO Go, ESPN, and Crunchyroll were added to the Apple TV as native apps. So no more having to stream your Crunchyroll to your Apple TVs. Now, just like your Xbox and your PlayStation 3, Crunchyroll is an app native on the Apple TV. So HD streaming of your anime, you're welcome. Make sure you check it out. And then, obviously, if you have the HBO Goes, you want to Goes and put the HBO Goes.
What? You want to watch all 185 episodes of Shugochara on your Apple TV? You can now.
I can't watch Shugochara again.
I've watched all 185 episodes.
It actually gave me a cavity. It was so sweet.
Like,
I had to go to the dentist.
And on the 185th episode, like, they don't even really resolve anything. They just go on to middle school. And I'm like, that's it. No resolution. We're just gonna go to middle school. That's it.
Really? Well, I mean, going to middle school is kind of a resolution all in of itself.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they still didn't find the embryo.
Nope.
We got some new Char characters.
Yep.
For some new people.
Yep.
We haven't resolved the Ikto Tadase love triangle quadrilateral, whatever the fuck it is.
It's more like a trapezoid.
And we have, like, one more character transformation for Amu. Now yep. She has all four personalities in her.
Yep.
It should just be Amulet Sybil.
Seriously?
Because she, yeah. That's what, and I'm like, and she's in a wedding dress? Really? Really? I'm like, I'm going back to Attack on Titan, because at least then I know somebody's going to die in the episode.
Somebody's dying. Like, that's one of the amazing things about Titan. I feel like Attack on Titan
should be the anime version of Game of Thrones.
I feel like Attack on Titan is the anime version of Game of Thrones, but just without winter right now.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some soon.
I'm sure we are.
But no, like, a friend of mine is like, I can't get into Attack on Titan. I'm like,
what?
I need to hit you in the face.
Did you hit them in the face? Because I feel like you should have.
What is your problem? And he was just like, he's like, the pacing. I'm like, yes. The pacing, like something else we're going to talk about in the show this week. Sometimes the pacing is set to a particular time to set a mood, atmosphere, or set up a theme in the arc of the anime that you are watching. And so I'm like, I'm going to have to spoil some stuff for this guy, because he only got through, like, the first two episodes. And I'm like, you haven't even gotten to the good shit yet, because there are some animes that you really got to give it at least 5 episodes before you can really decide if you're going to really like it or not, or if you're going to give it a shot. So when I finally dropped some news on him about shit that goes down, he's like, I'm going to have to watch it now. I'm like, yeah, you should still be watching it, because it's fucking the balls. Not fucking the balls, but, you
right,
know,
right, right. You don't want to.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I love Attack on Titan. So, let's get into it just a little bit. Just a little
bit. A little
bit. Quick. Like, just the tip. So.
Of the biggest and blackest dick.
No, maybe. So, with Attack on Titan, one, I love the animation style.
Yes.
And, you know, we've talked about the story before and where we thought things were going to go. And, you know, I'm probably, I think, at the same episode that you are at this
probably.
Point. Probably. Because I got caught up after I got back from E3. And I just have to say that the story is probably one of the more engaging storylines that I've seen of animes recently airing in Japan through the simulcast feature on Crunchyroll. And I'll be honest with you, that's what got me hooked before even the animation style and the character exposition
and
that we've gone through.
And that great opening song.
The opening is great. It's definitely bombastic. It sets the tone for what's going to happen, which doesn't always happen with anime series. Like, you'll get a really serious, like, I don't want to say scary, but kind of dark and intense theme. And then
and that's not to say that Attack on Titan doesn't deliver that, but they give that in our closing theme, which I think for some people, I knew at first I was not a fan of the ending theme of Attack on Titan.
Because, yeah, but as you get into it, you start realizing why.
But as you
why.
Get into the story, now you understand why it has a presence there, and it makes so much more sense, because I mean, they're starting to deal with a lot of animes where you have more than just one lead protagonist. You've got, like, a core group, or these or duality of protagonists, you know, two people making one whole protagonist,
right,
if you will, and that's what this series is doing.
And I think that they deliver it really well. It is the balance of character, and the characters that right now are remaining are ones that have enough of a personality that it comes off more of an ensemble cast as opposed to a single protagonist surrounded by a harem or, you know, those types of things.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that if you haven't checked out Attack on Titan yet, you owe it to yourself, especially if you enjoy anime and you enjoy things that are a little bit darker. Not necessarily scary or horror or anything like that, but it definitely
It definitely has its fear, its terrored moments.
Absolutely, but I wouldn't categorize chaos. I wouldn't put it in the same class as another.
No, absolutely not.
You know, or even Dusk Maiden.
Right, no, I wouldn't
either. You know, but it definitely does have its dark moments. It's more of an adult, dark anime. Not necessarily a horror. If you enjoy those, like, I would put it almost in the realm of an Ergo Proxy. Almost.
I didn't find Ergo Proxy scary.
That's what I'm saying. It's not scary. It's just dark.
I tried to host, because I used to run an anime club back when I was in college, and I tried to, you know, leave the viewings up to the group. Like, I was a very diplomatic and fair ruler. I honestly have to say that. And somebody brought in Ergo Proxy, and I'm like, the animation style I had seen, and I'm like, I think I'm really going to get into it. We all fell asleep.
Well, I mean, what does that say about you guys?
That
says a whole lot more about you guys than it does.
No, it doesn't, because no matter what I did, I could not get into it, and I tried so hard to get into that series. And like that same member came back, she's like, "I have the next episodes." I'm like, "And you know what? I think we're gonna do some Kaleidostar.
And I think we're good.
I think we're gonna do some Higurashi no Nokoroni just to." Palate cleanse, the boring.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like, let's watch that, and if someone says Ergo Proxy, well, then I guess I'll have to put it on. But no one dare utter the name Ergo Proxy after that.
No, it definitely, it is something that it takes a little something to get into, but I definitely... I mean,
her eyeshadow was great. We all wanted her eyeshadow. But, like,
that's... That chick has the best smoky eye ever.
We wanted her smoky eye, we wanted... Witch Hunter Robin's hair. Yeah. I don't know why, because, you know, you could get stuck on a tree and get your
evidently,
head ripped off.
You could, so you don't want to...
But anyway, that's beside the point. Attack on Titan is awesome. You need to give yourself the benefit of the doubt and give it a shot.
Absolutely. Like, I have been enjoying a bunch of new different anime. Titan is one of them. I'm also enjoying The Severing Crime Edge.
Yeah.
It's really gotten very good. They're up to 12 episodes now on Crunchyroll, so definitely worth checking out as well. Again, it's more on the dark side, but it's not...
It's weird, because it has
dark undertones,
yes.
But for the most part, it is a light love story, romance, really.
I mean, when it comes down to it, it really does... It's basically love stories. And the extremes of them, I feel.
And this is where we're going to get to, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we're going to reach that crescendo of, holy shit, there's a snap between love and obsession and driven, lust-driven insanity.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's where we're going to go.
So, and if that's your ball of wax, you definitely want to check it out.
I mean, I've also been watching a very cutesy... reverse harem sort of anime that I didn't think I was gonna really get into.
Oh, was this the one that I told you about?
Yeah.
And you were like, eh.
You're like, yeah, one of the dudes is a cat. And you're she like no. breaks the spell and he's a prince now. And I'm like, what? And then I went and watched and I said, oh my god, now it all makes sense in order. And I had to get all the songs because they're all really good. And like literally last week, because we're up to episode 12 in the second season of the series. And, like, now the lead boy band is like, duking it out with, like, another rival pop band. It literally, when it opened up, I was like, oh, man, I totally want Star Wish to kick their fucking ass. And, of course, it leaves on a cliffhanger, and I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Why would you do that to me? It's like Usher coming out and shaking his butt one time and then walking off stage.
Look, I'm going to break it to you like this, all right? I just want to run down very quickly the scorecard. I told you about AKB-0048, and you were like, meh,
AKB-0048!
Then I made you watch an episode with me,
mm-hmm.
and then you marathoned the rest of it.
Yes, I did.
Okay. I told you about Severing Crime Edge.
Yes, you did.
And you're like, meh. And then I made you watch an episode.
Yes.
And
I marathoned that.
Okay. I told you about Uta Prince Nosama or whatever.
That's the name.
And you were like, meh.
I was like, boy bands.
And then I made you watch an episode.
And now I'm madly in love with three of the members of Star Wars.
And you've downloaded all of the songs.
Yeah.
I told you,
my favorite.
I told you about Gargantia.
I have not watched that yet.
At all. And so what I'm trying to establish here. I feel like
there's a trend.
There's a pattern.
You bring an anime, I say no. You make me watch it, I like it.
So I feel like, do I really need to make you watch Gargantia? Or are you just going to understand and accept the trend and do it on your own?
I think you have to make me watch it.
Okay, because you really would love Gargantia. Okay. Which is another one that I'm really enjoying. It's gotten so good. Like, it was cute, and now it's really good. So, on the anime tip, those are the things that we're watching right now. We highly recommend all of them. I think the only thing that I started watching and I stopped just because I wasn't enjoying it as much was there's a new one that they're airing. That's called, My High School Romance or something like that.
Oh, my High School Romance Snafu?
Yes, that. And I couldn't. Yeah, it had potential, but I don't find it to, it doesn't draw me in, it doesn't make me want to watch it. It's kind of like one of those things.
There's an anime coming out that's based on a game. And I know, I mean, this is not new for people who've been...
Can somebody please make Attack on Titan a game for, the new consoles, PS4 or Xbox One? I don't care which, but could somebody just do that?
Would that be an adventure?
I feel like it would be...
I mean, I feel like that game would probably be best utilized as, like, a light novel type thing, because there's so much going on that... I don't honestly think a gamer right now would have the mental...
I'm going to say something, and you're gonna be really surprised.
Maybe.
I feel like Attack on Titan should be an action RPG.
Wow. I had no words for that when that came out of your mouth. Like, literally my face was like, did she just say that?
But I feel like that's how it would make the best, because you would sortie, so you'd put together your party.
Oh, man.
You would build up everybody's abilities.
Right.
It would need to be an action RPG so I could play it. But you would encounter... But
then you'd have to get used to the maneuver. You'd have to learn how to use the maneuver gear.
Right.
And you'd have to learn how to, like... cut things when you're in the air, right?
Uh-huh. But that's why it should be an action RPG and not just a regular RPG, because if you're just hopping up and attacking, that takes all of the dynamic
of that particular
movement, which really sets the pace. So that's why it would need to be an action RPG, but I feel like it needs to be an action RPG, and you would just encounter titans as you traverse the cities inside the walls.
You mean not even just transverse, you know, the cities inside the walls are safe. You'd have to transverse out of those walls.
Eventually, yeah.
To retake town.
So just like it starts, you start inside the wall, and then you realize you've got to get to your house to get to the basement.
Because, you know, your mom. You got to see your mom die, because that's the basis of your whole journey.
So, spoilers. So you've got to go to the house, and that's when you... get outside the walls, and then you encounter all kinds of different things as you make your way to the house. And the final battle is when you actually get to the house.
All right, I think I could see that.
Just saying.
But
so somebody work on that Square Enix.
They are. Oh my god! If they made it like Lost Odyssey, it'd be awesome. Anyway, so I know that there's a game, anime coming from a game series. And I had marathoned a Let's Play of it because, let's face it, I mean, yes, I do play a lot of survival horror games, but I do not have the aptitude to play a survival horror game on my mobile consoles. So my 3DS, never gonna happen. Revelations, you sit in your case, and that's where you're gonna stay.
Revelations,
you're gonna stay there. Because, I mean, I know I tried to do a review of a PSP horror game, and I couldn't get through it. I was terrorized because I was so worried that I'd get
scared.
How'd
you get your hands on a PSP?
I borrowed your PSP.
You did?
I borrowed your PSP.
Oh, do you still have it?
And then, no, I gave it back to you.
You did?
Because I played the game, and I'm like, I'm not going to get through this. And I was dating somebody at the time who had a PSP, so I'm like, here, you can have this. It's a review copy. I'm not going to review the game. You can have it. Oh. And then he played it, and he completed it, and he was like, it sucked. I'm like, well, that's okay. I kind of expected it was going to. Ooh. But since then, I have this weird thing. I could play survival horror game on my main consoles, but you put it on my 3DS.
Because I don't think tiny horror works the same as big horror.
It's not even that, because the story, like, they made a port for the PS3 later for this particular game. And it wasn't that. It was just because the cut scares are so dynamic, I was worried that I would ruin my hardware because I am a jumpy kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's a jump scare type of thing, which is why I hate when people put those things on my Facebook and I'm staring at something for 30 seconds and then a scary face gets up in my face and then I spill my coffee all over my white pants. I've done like maybe 6 times in my entire life.
Poor. Maybe you should just stop wearing white pants.
I should just stop wearing white pants.
I feel like you should just stop wearing
whatever
white
I'm
pants.
Wearing white pants, someone wants to scare me. I feel like there's a trend there. But getting back to the point, but I had watched this Let's Play of a great game called Corpse Party. And they're finally turning that into an anime, and it's going to start, I think, simulcasting on Crunchyroll really soon.
Okay.
And it was really good. And in terms of story, it would be right up my alley. If you liked Another, then you're really going to like Corpse Party. So, in terms of an anime. So once it comes out, I'm probably going to start my whole, I'm watching this now, watch it with me so we can discuss type of deal, because it's definitely on my radar, and for some of you guys, it should be on yours too. Can we talk about games?
All right, we're going to get to games. Look, we said video game, tech gadget, anime podcast. We can talk about all of it. I'm just saying, there's a bunch of anime that we need to talk about.
I know.
And we haven't been together for quite some time to, like, actually delve into the anime, because it's been like, games, E3 games. Ooh, more games. Ooh, hey, look, games. So I thought we'd just, you know, throw a little anime in there before we get to the games, because we got a lot of games stuff to talk about. And now we have a whole freaking, like, hour left that we can talk about games.
Yay!
So I think we're kind of good.
Alrighty.
I think we can do this.
Alright, well, why don't we talk about the Microsoft news first?
Sure, let's do that. So I'm going to preference everything that I'm saying. Because I don't want any haterade. I get tired of that. There's only one flavor of haterade, and you can only take so much of it before you're like...
And it's ball sweat, and who wants to drink
no
that?
No one, ever. So,
we're going to... Said no one in Mexico.
Stop it. So I'm preferencing this right now. So that nobody's like, oh, you're just a fanboy, fangirl, because you got boobs, whatever.
There are fanboys who have boobs.
Yes. Big man boobs.
Big man titties.
Titties. So anyway, I have pre-ordered an Xbox One, and I have pre-ordered a PS4. I currently own a Nintendo Wii U, so... I have it all coming, bitches, if I don't already have it, okay?
She's gonna live in the future, and I'm gonna live in the past for a couple of months.
I like them all. They have positives and negatives that I feel are equal upon both houses.
Plague on both your houses.
Don't give me no caca de doo-doo about being a fanboy girl one way or another. All are equal and welcome.
She takes them all in.
In the house of Ninja, okay?
Right.
However, I do have some opinions on things that might be similar to yours, probably going to be different. They're my opinions. I want to hear your opinions.
They're her opinions.
That's why we have a Facebook, so you can share your opinions and we can talk this shit out, okay?
No one likes to talk to us on our Facebook.
Some people do. Some people talk, but, you know.
It's mostly me.
It's mostly you. I talk sometimes, but it's mostly you, okay? But you can interact with us and talk with us and ask questions and share your opinions and all that kind of stuff. We want to hear that stuff.
We encourage you to talk to us.
These are just our opinions. And opinions. You know, you can agree.
Opinions and pan opinions.
You can agree, disagree. It's your world. We're just a squirrel trying to get a nut, okay?
I'm trying to get 2 nuts.
That's because you're greedy. So moving on.
I am.
Here are my thoughts. So, when the Xbox One... Before it was the Xbox One, was talked about. Some of the DRM stuff that they may or may not have been doing, because remember it was a rumor at the time, leaked out, and people were all in a tizzy about what they thought the DRM was going to be.
I'm not going to like this box one bit.
Okay. And so then Xbox had their media event where they talked about all of the entertainment stuff that they were going to be doing with live TV and the integration with Skype and the ability to message and live TV streaming with voice control and the new Kinect and all that kind of stuff. And everyone was still a little pissy about the DRM. Then we got to E3 and we got some more specifics on how the 24-hour check was going to work, and people were pissed about the 24-hour check, which was basically once every 24 hours, your box was going to be pinged to ensure that you were still you and that your licenses were still your licenses, and then it was going to move on about its business. But there are some other things that were going to be happening in the background. You know, the ability to have family users or a family account where up to 10 members of your family, I'm doing air quotes here, people, would be able to have access to your licenses, that you would be able to take your licenses with you if you went over to a friend's house, for instance, and wanted to play or access any of your games from your library. You'd be able to log in to your account, access your licenses from that account, and play from the cloud your games. But there were a lot of people who felt that it was very Big Brotherish, that felt that the requirement for always on for multiplayer and for that check was, again, Big Brotherish, but also confining, and were very vocal about not liking it. Not liking it at all.
Too many things touch me.
All right, now, you have Sony at their media briefing. Basically talk about DRM as saying, the way that you play games today and is the way that you're going to play them tomorrow.
Naked?
That's just you, Panda. And we've talked about that.
I have my emergency cover sheet just in case it's we have company.
It's really inappropriate.
That's what the cover sheet is for.
No, the only thing that should have a cover sheet is a resume.
Not mine.
You can't be freeballing a resume.
Say, hey, what's up?
I did stuff. So anyway, that created a whole lot of blowback. You know, when Sony came out and said, look, you want to share a game with your friend? Here's how you do it. You hand them the disc and boom, you're done. It was very damning to Microsoft's campaign. So you get past E3, the pre-orders start rolling in, the Sony PS4 pre-orders went through the roof. The Xbox One pre-orders did not do too shabby themselves, people, but they definitely got a little outclassed, I would say, by Sony. So much so that I think that there were a bunch of meetings that started during E3, but ended up with an announcement from Microsoft earlier this week, saying that they are not going to move forward with the DRM plans as they outlaid them, that they are going to bring things back to the way that the DRM currently works on the Xbox 360 to the Xbox One system when it launches in November. So basically, we're back on equal footing as far as how DRM is going to be treated from the hardware developer end versus the software developer end. Because they're not saying no DRM across the board. And Sony never said no DRM across the board. What Sony said was that they weren't going to do any extra layers of DRM on top of what software developers were going to do. So they weren't going to do a 24-hour check. You know, you'd be able to play games offline. You wouldn't have to be online all the time to play your games or access your licenses and things like that. And so Microsoft did a, okay, we hear you, we get you. But at the same time, to me, that means, well, a couple of things are given up, meaning the whole family pass thing gone. Can't do it without the 24-hour check to make sure your license is on your licenses. Gone is the ability to just go over your friend's house and sign in with your account and access your licenses and games from the cloud. You will have to bring your disc over and run them from the disc. Gone is the ability to install a game to your hard drive and then just run it without having to put the disc in to do the checksum. That now comes back, and so you will have to put the disc in to the machine to run the checksum. So there's now a lot of things that are going to happen on the hardware that weren't, I think, initially thought of as happening on the hardware itself. So we may get back into the whole area of heat issues again, and we will have done it to ourselves by
We shot ourselves in the foot
thinking it all the way through before we told Microsoft to get the fuck off our lawn. So here we are with two systems that are now identical in many ways. Okay, the DRM is still going to function the way it is today, meaning that if a software developer wants to put DRM on disk, they can, and you have to abide by it. If they don't, then hey, they don't, but it's still now up to the software developer. So no change there. So nothing next gen about that. Yay, guys. You have boxes that have very similar RAM specs with the difference of type. Sony, I think, is using a little bit better RAM because I think they're using the GDDR versus the DDR RAM. Which
Sansan's Revolution brand.
RAM. But both boxes have 8 gigs of RAM in them. Both have amazing graphic cards, where Sony's is a custom Radeon. I don't think that the Microsoft one is a custom Radeon. I think it's a stock Radeon. And so the only difference now between the two systems is Microsoft is really banking and bundling the Kinect with their box as the hub of your digital hub, so to speak. So the Kinect is included so that you can do the voice commands for, like, turning your Xbox on, enabling live TV, channels, surfing, switching, and that kind of stuff. Because they are banking on being your home entertainment system, it has to bundle a Kinect with the box in order to do it, which is where that extra $100 between the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 come in. If they bundled a whole Move system with every box on the PS4, the boxes would be priced identically. So now it just comes down to software, which it should always come down to software. In my book, it's the software that moves the box, not necessarily the box moving itself, right? Because the box is just the vehicle to play the software.
If the box moves itself, isn't it just a Woomba?
Yeah, it actually is. Or an Aibo, although those were discontinued by Sony. So let's not go there, because that's a bad omen. But yes, it's the software that moves the box. So now you got to start looking at titles. Both, I think, to be fair, titles that'll be on both platforms, so the non-exclusives, and the titles that'll be on one platform, the exclusives. When you get into that war, guess what?
What?
Microsoft comes out a little bit ahead because Microsoft has a shit ton of exclusives. Okay, Sony has some good exclusives too, don't get me wrong. Again, the reason why I pre-ordered a PS4. But software are going to move these boxes, and there's some great software that's coming out on the Xbox One. So it's really hard for me to, like, pick one over the other because I think that they're fairly equally matched now.
Now.
Because they're identical now. And I don't necessarily need them to be identical because I think that that's going to create a lot of confusion for the consumers as we go into holiday. But at the end of the day, DRM is now identical, guys. So you should be happy about that. If you're not, well, guess what? You lost. So, deal. Software, for the most part, going to be a lot of overlaps and identicals. You know, Watch Dogs is going to be available on everything. Assassins is going to be available on everything. Pretty much your big tentpole franchises are going to be available on everything. Old gen as well as next gen, or current gen versus next gen, or previous gen versus next gen. You know, pick them. Any way you want to say it. It's going to be across the board.
Any way you want it.
And then your exclusives will be exclusive and be on that platform. So it'll be very interesting for me to see what the banter and the talk is the week after the consoles come out. Because the ship date right now for the Xbox One is November 27th. And I think the PS4 ship date is like November 30th. I think.
Okay.
I think they're both going to drop after Thanksgiving, which I think is a bit of a mistake, to be honest with you. I'd think that you'd want to go into Black Friday with your box available.
Yeah.
And I think right now, I think Black Friday falls on the 26th, not the 27th. So it's not the only box that has a shot of being available if Black Friday is in fact the 27th. So I'll have to double check that for you guys. But would be the Xbox One, which means they'd get a jump on Sony, which doesn't make sense.
And Sony, I don't think Sony's going to have that.
I don't think Sony's going to have that. So I think you're going to see a shift, if possible, in the availability dates. But don't quote me, because I could be wrong. For whatever reason, I have both the 18th and the 30th jumping around in my head for Sony, and so I can't remember if that's when Watch Dogs comes out on the 18th, and then the PS4 comes out on the 30th, or if it's the other way around. But I believe that they're both towards the end of the month, which means they're both very highly focused on sales through holiday. So if you haven't pre-ordered a box yet, you better, because you may not be able to get one before Christmas unless you do so. Because now I think with them both being identical, you can have a lot of people who are on the fence about systems kind of jumping off of them. You know, for me, I waited a little bit to do my pre-order on my Xbox One, and I only did that because the backwards compatibility isn't going to be there from day one. That means that there's a whole bunch of games that I currently own that I wouldn't be able to play on the box unless I kept my Xbox 360. And I was seriously considering trading in my Xbox 360 so I could use the extra cash to pick up some extra games.
I don't think you should turn in your 360.
Yeah, you know, as I think about it a little bit more, you know, I feel like that might not be the best decision to make.
No, I think for you, you need to turn in your Sony box because you barely use your PS3.
That's true. I mean, even though I put a bigger hard drive in it so I could put, you know, stuff on it.
Yeah, but you never really put stuff on it.
I think that if I transfer all my stuff off it to the new machine, then it probably makes more sense because the PS4 will have some backwards compatibility and even more that will come through the piece that Gakkai is working on. For the few games that I have for my PS3, which is basically Uncharted, God of War, I have Modern Warfare, and Heavy Rain, and Heavenly Sword for the PS3. It's pretty much
it.
And then a bunch of Blu-ray movies, which I'll be able to play my Blu-rays either on my PS4 or on the Xbox One, so I'm good there. Because that was one of the things that they kind of snuck onto the radar, is that the Xbox One will also have a Blu-ray player in it.
Yay! So there goes that exclusive perk that Sony had for a while.
Correct. That's why I say the boxes are now identical.
Essentially.
I think that, you know, because they're using a custom card and a little bit better RAM, custom graphics card, I think that some of the things that are happening on the Sony box right now, at least, look a little more, I don't want to say polished, but they look a little bit better just from some of the demos that I saw when I was at E3 for PS4 stuff. And I'm talking same franchise, PS4 stuff versus Xbox One stuff. So it'll be interesting to see once we get to Golden Master and games come out, really and truly, if there is any kind of separation in how things look between the two platforms. Because that's one of the things that you can't really tell from the media briefings, or unless you're looking at the two platforms side by side, same title, whether or not there's any kind of better fidelity or anything like that with one platform versus the other. So it'll be interesting to see if that shows up. But as some of the people on the Twitterverse has said this week, that Microsoft did an Xbox 180. Get it? Because the Xbox One and then a 180. It's like a half turn. So you start in one place, and then you turn around, and you're right back in the place.
You're like, no, you know what? I changed my mind.
You're like, actually. And then you adjust your glasses.
Like, basically, I'm sorry, Agnes. I really wanted to go with you to prom.
Yeah, basically, that's just what happened.
I didn't want to go with Kelly, the hot cheerleader teacher.
Microsoft
sorry.
Just turned around and took the girl with a great personality to prom.
Because
that they were in
that
love
girl with,
that
great personality.
That they were in love with the whole time, who had had their back and been their friend for the whole time, and they turn around and walk away when the hot blonde chick came in just before they got in the limo. Microsoft just turned around and went back to Agnes to do the right thing and take the person that they actually like.
And Agnes is still going to get on her knees at the end of prom night.
Probably.
She just shouldn't, but she's going
to. Yeah, but she has low self-esteem, so...
It's high school.
It's gonna happen.
Oh, I'm sorry, high schoolers.
But then she's gonna write a book about it, and it's gonna be amazing. And she's gonna move to New York and have a column.
And she'll go to NYU because that's where all the kids go.
That's where all the kids go
in New York.
Yes, they don't know why. They don't know why. It's because they don't want to go to Ithaca because it's cold as shit, and so they go to NYU instead because there's a lot of Starbucks.
Oh, sorry, NYU students.
We love you.
We love you.
We love you creative mofos.
We love you, Ithaca.
We love you almost as much as the kids who go to Columbia. So,
Oh, snap.
Diddles. Because not all schools are created equal. No. All right. So, anyway, I don't know why we got on that tangent. Neither one of us went to New York schools.
Nope.
Anyway.
I saw one once.
In a movie.
No, I visited one once.
Yeah.
But I didn't get enough money.
I didn't even visit any of the New York schools. It was not allowed.
I was like, I want to see the school. And they're like, okay. And they're like, we'll give you 1600, we'll give you 16 grand. I'm like, but it's 32 a year. Sorry.
They're like, we'll give you half a boat. No.
It's like half a boat does not make it down the river.
Half a boat will not get me into your state if I take the river. You know what I'm saying? Well, I guess it would take, you know, depend on how you actually spin the half a boat. If you spin the half a boat.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll let go of my hand.
Don't ever let go.
No. I'll never let go, but I need you to let go. That's what she meant, which is like, I'm not going to let go. But you need to let me live.
Because it's all about me. Even though we both could have fit on this thing. We both could have
fit on this fucking
I love those door. Photos, by the way, on the internet. Of like, you could have played cards. You could lay head to toe. You could have.
We totally could have just gone down on each other until, you know, help
what
arrived.
What is it with you and the sex stuff today? Do you have, you know what?
No.
What?
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 Hey, look.
Hey!
Hey!
Listen. So, yeah, Microsoft. I feel really badly that they had to change their game plan. Because, to be honest with you, I didn't have a problem with the DRM the way that they laid out the program.
And neither did I, because I wasn't getting a system on launch.
It's especially what it was going to allow me to do. Not that I go over to friends' houses a lot. Friends? That have Xboxes, but I did like the idea of being able to travel, and if I was at someone's place who had an Xbox, and I wanted to show them really quickly, like, a game that I loved, I'd be able to jump on, access one of my licenses, and show it to them, as opposed to, like, having to take time to, like, download a demo that maybe I couldn't show them, like, a level that I was playing or a specific thing I was talking about. I think that it's sad when a developer of any kind gets forced into changing something that isn't their natural vision for their product because they're basically bullied by the consumer audience to cave and do what is known as opposed to do the unknown. You know, it's like
we
the ending
stop
of
bullying.
We really should, because bullying's not cool. But I mean, it feels like it's just Mass Effect 3 all over again, but pushed onto a console.
Yep.
And so things are now changed to appease us, and it still didn't give them the boon in pre-order sales that they were really expecting, although they did go up once they made the announcements about the change to DRM. But I just think that it's a sad state when rumors are able to motivate the consumer base
faster
more
than truth.
Than truth, yeah. That's really kind of where I've ended up, because I feel like we kind of neutered the Xbox One right now. From what it was supposed to be, I feel like we just lopped off its nuts.
Probably.
And put it in a cone of shame and are just telling it, it'll be okay, though. I still love you.
Even with the cone?
You're not less.
You're not alone just because you wear a cone.
You're just not as much.
Aww.
So, it's kind of a bummer. But I'm looking forward to actually playing with both consoles. There are things that I've said before that I'm really attracted to that are exclusive to each. Titanfall looks amazing. And hopefully we'll be able to get pretty in-depth here on it on a podcast episode pretty soon. Killer Instinct is a mover for me. It was the first thing that made me even consider doing a pre-order for an Xbox One to get it release day. And, you know, what cinched the deal for me on the Xbox One, frankly, to be honest, was that I know that there will continue to be stuff from Respawn. The Insomniac game Sunshine Overdrive looks fantastic, and that's an exclusive. And so between Killer Instinct, Sunset, and Titanfall, there are three titles that I want to play that are going to be available just on that console. So we're already talking over $200 worth of software for a box that costs $5. So right there, almost half of its value is made. So it seemed like a slam dunk for me.
You can't slam dunk.
Shut up. I could dunk if we lowered the rim.
If we got a Fisher-Price basket.
You know what? I'm about to shank you.
Speaking of shanks and shivs.
Yeah, you like how I did that?
Yes. It's time for an adventure in game land.
More games!
More games, but more hands-on personal experiences, obviously.
Personal for Bandalicious.
It's been a title that I have been lusting for, dreaming about, talking drooling about, over. Hinting about, wanting to draw for, but then realizes that I can't draw for a while now. And that's
thinking about standing in line at a midnight launch, but then changing your mind because you're almost 30.
Thought about it and realized she could just go after work, which she totally did.
That's what happens when you're an adult gamer.
I know.
Like, I could stay up at midnight and stand outside.
I could
stay
until midnight. I could.
Or I could just go after work.
I could go at 2:30, grab a pizza, get the game and the guide, get my favorite recliner that takes up most of my living room, put on my new peripheral, and just immerse.
Guys, I just want to make sure that you heard that. Pandalicious picks up a pizza, goes home, jumps in the recliner to play the video games.
Yep. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
That's how I do
it. You want to know why? Because that's comfortable. And you're almost 30. So remember those jokes that you used to make about me not getting in the beanbag anymore or sitting on the floor in a rocker chair?
I
want to
get a beanbag before I'm 30, so I really only have like a year left.
No, I want a sumo bag.
But I mean,
which is like an adult beanbag.
I mean, it's really funny because, you know, going into the talk about Last of Us, because when I bought it, it was
like... Oh, yeah, by the way, she's talking about Last of Us.
Yeah.
I interrupted that.
From Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog.
But it came out on June 14th, so it's only been out for maybe about a week-ish.
It came out at the end of E3.
At the end of E3. And I bought it, and the day that I bought it was my best friend's birthday. And I didn't order a pizza because she was having a party.
Because dames before games?
Dames before games. And I bought it, and I brought it home, and her party was at, like, 6:30. And I'm like, it's 5 now. I'm like, I could play this for 45 minutes.
But I'm not just going to play this for 45 minutes.
But knowing me, if I open the plastic, I'm not going to this party. So I purposely fought temptation for that hour and 15 minutes, and then left 15 minutes early so I wouldn't have to do it for another 15 minutes. And went to this party and had a very good time. We played Cards Against Humanity, but I digress. But sometimes...
Cards Against Humanity is probably the best card game
Card game, especially over Yu-Gi-Oh! But anyway...
Oh, yeah, definitely over Yu-Gi-Oh!
But I'm just saying that I didn't even open it, but... You know, I'm kind of glad that I did now.
Basically, what Panda is saying is that she chose friendship over gamer score.
Gamers. Well, trophies.
Well, trophies.
For the, because it's, it's a PS3 exclusive.
Naughty Dog. So
but PS3 Naughty Dog, only. I feel, has definitely done it again. And I know everyone probably knows Naughty Dog from their, you know, adventures in Uncharted.
Nathan Drakeland. Yummy.
And even a little bit before that, too, I think, with, wasn't it Bandicoot?
Yes.
Was that them?
I believe
I think it was them.
Crash Bandicoot was Naughty Dog.
I believe so.
I don't know.
I mean, so everyone's got their stake into Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog!
But everyone really kind of clamors to Uncharted because, oh my god, Nathan Drake, oh my god, adventure, oh my god, kung fu grip on everything. And thought
well, things are better with a kung fu grip, though. Like, you have to admit.
I absolutely agree.
Kung fu grip increases awesomeness by
like
at least
50%.
50%.
And I mean, a lot of people, when they were seeing, you know, pictures and backdrops and, you know, character creation for Last of Us, they really thought that this was going to be, like, Uncharted with Nathan past, you know, 45 years old, you know, in a lush green environment. And could it be farther from the truth? Abso-fucking-lutely. You know, and everyone's like, oh, it's going to be another survival, you know, horde-ish type game with, like, zombies. No, they're not fucking zombies.
Nope, not a zombie game.
Not a zombie game.
This is not Resident Evil.
This is not Revelations. This game, I honestly feel like this is a very new take on the whole idea of post-apocalyptic. Because, I mean, you usually get really grungy, you get very run down, you get Fallout... You know, and not that Fallout is a bad franchise, because I enjoy Fallout. I have New Vegas. Granted, New Vegas isn't as great as the originals, but whatever.
You know,
I know
you gotta
what I'm
have
talking
room to
about.
Grow. You gotta have room to grow.
That's right. So, I mean, But this is a great take on it. And for one, you start off in one of my favorite towns, Boston.
Yeah, what's up, Bean Town? And they being overrun by boars and shit.
You're getting overrun by infected because, like everyone anticipates in, you know, the zombie forums, the how the zombie outbreak is going to happen.
It's actually airborne.
They took a page from M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong from The Happening. And they made it realistic enough.
It's airborne. Spores are bad.
Spores. And if you get exposed to spores, it takes you a little bit longer to turn if you're just exposed to spores.
But you
don't want spores. And you don't want to get bit or scratched either because the infection will overtake you in easily a full day.
Yeah, it's bad.
And the story is really, really smart to bring us in right at the start of the outbreak.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there for just a second.
Sure.
Because I'm not as far into this game as you are.
I know.
Because I did finally jump into it. Not just because it's Naughty Dog, because I love Naughty Dog. Because I was going to let you have this one in its entirety.
I know.
Because scary really, like, isn't my deal.
But it's not scary. And the minute I told her it wasn't scary, I knew. I'm like, she's going to get it.
Yeah.
The minute I tell her that it's not even remote. Like, there are tension
because
moments.
Because Naughty Dog is fantastic at story.
Yeah, I know.
Fantastic at story. You know, like, Jack and Daxter is a great platformer, but it has a really,
really
cute
great story
in the background. So I was like, well, as long as it's not, like, ridiculously, you know,
and it
horror,
was Jack and Daxter, not Bandicoot, right?
No, Bandicoot first, then okay. Jack and Daxter.
Okay.
But for me, I'm always, always driven by story. And I know that Naughty Dog does a great deal with story. And I was starting to see, as reviews started coming out, that there were a whole lot of people that were slamming the game. And I was really taken aback by that. And then on the back end, a whole lot of people going, okay, you guys are crazy because this is great. And I realized that, okay, here's the dividing line. This game is one of those games where the people who hate slow pacing and hate being forced into a storyline and an emotional thing are the ones who are like, it sucks. It's totally not what I thought it was going to be. This is not a Uncharted. And the people who really embrace story and character development and, oh yeah, action, love it.
Yes.
It's like a polarizing rod. So I was like, I have to play it.
It's kind of the same thing that happened with Heavy Rain, where a lot of people were like, if you love story, and granted, they even, you know, that was your choose your own adventure.
Dude, Heavy Rain is more like a choose your own path through this movie. Then it's a video game. Whenever I touch Heavy Rain, I don't feel like I'm playing a game. I feel like I'm in a interactive movie. And that's not a bad thing, okay? I'm not saying it like it's a bad thing. That's a good thing. And I feel like Beyond Two Souls is going to be even more of that.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that.
But
anyway, let's get back to
Last of Us.
And I haven't completed the game at the time that you guys are getting this podcast, but I'm probably about 50% through now.
I'm going to say that you're probably more like 60%.
I'm pretty...
From the looks of your guide.
From the looks of the guide, which I just want to preface that I don't always crack open.
Only when she's stuck. I have bore witness to this, people.
I will only crack open my guide if I have died in an area more than 8 times.
Yeah, because you will die a lot.
After that, I have cracked it open. I only go to the page in which I'm having the difficulty. I change it, I shut it, I put the guide away, and I just want the clean experience. So I'm really going in there as vanilla as possible. And I mean,
yeah,
this...
No cheaties.
And this game is really good about delivering a full, natural experience because you don't get a HUD.
Yeah, no HUD.
You get no direction whatsoever.
No, you gotta figure it out yourself.
It's completely... I hope you're paying attention to your surroundings.
It's actually kind of really, really realistic in that direction.
You have no idea where you need to go. You know, kind of builds up attention because you're really not relying on any prompts or cues from your party member.
It's all you.
It's all you. You are in charge of this motorboat. Whether or not it's going to get to the destination or not.
Yeah,
not that motorboat.
Oh.
I meant a real one. Like Steamboat Willie, Disney. I'm going to put my face in your boobies.
I'm sorry.
Because you don't need a boat for that.
Wait, you don't?
No. Anyway.
Oh, it's just value add.
Yeah. But anyway, so I mean, and the story starts off before, like, during the initial bits of outbreak, where people haven't even really figured out what it is. They think people have just gone crazy, like in The Purge, and just people are
which going I have nuts. No intention of seeing, by the way.
I wanted to see that.
Well, but you go have fun with that. I'll take you to Monsters University.
You go see The Purge. I'm going to go see Monsters U.
you have fun with that.
Like, you go see This Is the End. I'm going to go and see The Heat.
Okay. No. You go see This Is the End. I'm going to go see The World's End.
Ooh, I want to see that.
Okay, so we should go together. We should That's go the Simon Pegg one we should see.
But anyway, and you get to meet Joel before the Joel that we see on the cover and we've seen in multiple playthroughs. You know, still kind of a sturdy man, you know, works really hard, has a beautiful daughter who, you know, has the same kind of spirit that he does, you know, doesn't really
She's
take
She's a little
no.
bit of a smartass, which is cool.
Which you kind of need in this world and the world of this game.
Yep.
And through circumstances, which I'm not going to light on too much, you know, Joel loses his daughter. And I don't want to spoil that because that's a moment that you need to experience for yourself.
Yep.
But then the game starts to take place, and this is 20 years after this incident. So the world has been overrun by these spores and the infected, and things have grown over buildings. It's lush, it's green, and in some of these areas it's very beautiful, even though it's run down and there are buses and cars everywhere.
It's still very verdant, so very, it's still pretty.
Very green.
It's a very pretty destruction.
Yes. So it's not, you know, purple
It's not a
sky
sad destruction. It's not like it's like, depressing.
Right.
A but, I mean, post-apocalyptic.
It is depressing in the sense that, you know, there's not a lot of human life and the hustle and bustle of normality.
Right,
but
right.
It but is it doesn't, not, it's not it's like... not overtly depressing, like, oh, God. It's not like Metro Last Light where you have to hide in the sewers.
Yeah.
Because the sewers are the
and
most pretty thing
like,
to look at.
And it's not like District 9 where everything is just dingy and there's a lack of hope and it's just
right.
dark and everything is just
there is there are
gone
things
feels,
that are growing and things are still progressing in a certain way just
so
not
it kind
the way
of feels
that we,
like a living hopeful thing because you've got you know grass that's growing and there's flowers everywhere and there's obviously life all around you.
It just some
just
life has taken a
some
shady
of it's
way.
A little
questionable meow, meow. But anyway, so we find Joel again, much more hard, much more tactful, you know, not very, no Care Bear stare for this man.
Mm-mm.
He is, we have a job to do, let's do the job, and let's live a life, I guess, in some tattered form
kind.
Of civilization, we'll do that. And he's a smuggler. So he will smuggle goods from one district to another district, and he's got a partner named Tess, who... I like this character a lot. She is driven. She runs the show. Like, apparently Joel at this point is muscle, but she is the brains of this operation. She
it's like
runs,
Smokey and the Bandit.
She runs shit. She runs it. So he doesn't question her. And one of their shipments gets stolen by a dude, and she wants to get it back. And she ends up meeting that dude and fucking that dude up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They fucked that dude up
yep.
so bad.
Yep.
And
I cringed at a couple of points when that was happening, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
like when
oh,
they broke
she
his
gonna,
arm.
She gonna do that. Ooh, she did
yeah,
that.
She did that.
And in the course of fucking that dude shit up, we have now encountered, because there are these factions of a vigilante, I guess.
Right, because
I'll
just,
use it.
Just like in most games, when you have a enemy... There's more than one school of thought on how to take on the enemy.
Yeah.
You got one school of thought that's like, nuke fucking everything.
It's like, hey, we're the military, we're the government, we're what you know. And then there are people like, we could run ourselves better than you at this point. And they're the vigilante counterpart to the government.
Known as the Fireflies.
The Fireflies. Which I love the name because I feel like one of them, the Fireflies, one of them should be Nathan Fillion.
I feel like it was definitely a nod to Joss Whedon.
I think it should be.
Because the Fireflies are the Resistance.
They love Resistance. And you meet the head of the Fireflies for the area that they're in, and she's in bad shape, and she's like, yeah, I got your guns, because your fucking dude sold them to me. I'll give them back to you, but I need you to do me...
Just like one
favor. I wouldn't say a little. But you need to do this thing for me. I'll show you where your stash is at. You can have that and the money. I just need you to do this thing. So Tess is like, hey, money and my supplies. Let's do it. So they show up to find out that the leader of the Fireflies, I think her name is Marlene.
Yes.
Has a girl with her.
Yes.
This is Ellie. And you're like, okay. It's like, so I need you to take this girl out of the city, out of Boston, you know, and I need you to bring her to some of my dudes who are on the outside. So, of course, Joel's all like, nah. And Tessa's like, yeah, I want my fucking shit. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. So they go through the whole process of getting out of Boston to deliver this girl. And through other means, as we should already know.
Don't give it all away, dude.
Yeah. But through all means, as you already know.
Tess ends up not being able to go along with him.
Not going along with you. And that's where the development of Joel and Ellie really begins. And I mean, like I said, I want to say I'm probably at 55, maybe 55% done at this point. And I mean, a lot of the scenarios really require you to always be actively listening, which we know is not my strong suit in reality.
No, Panda is more of a Leroy Jenkins approach to...
In reality. It is amazing how the few times that ninjas watch me play so far that before I even open a door, I'll have Joel actively listen because he has an ability where he can hear where people are.
And he basically has sonar.
I know. He's like a whale.
He is. Because he can, like, listen and be like, I know exactly where they are in the other room.
It's like, oh my God, I heard that guy take two steps, so I know he's not looking at me right now through the door.
Joel's hearing is fucking awesome.
He's got some pretty awesome ears.
It's, like, way better than 2020.
But literally,
it's like 120-20.
Ninja can vouch for me that before I even open a door, I'm actively listening to see if there's anything in the room, because it will highlight and you can see their activity before I'll touch a door. And I will sit there for the longest time devising what my strategy is for the room. And I mean, they're really smart about allowing you to really take it in one or two ways. You can either be super stealthy and never actually engage in combat.
Or you can take it up the butt.
Or you could fight.
And take it in the rear.
And if you fail in both stealth and combat, then you take it up the butt. I would like a lot.
The AI is not dumb.
No. And the really great thing about, you know, this game is, like I said, like we said, it's very intelligent, because the atmosphere, the backdrop, there are things that will move, like a bucket or a glass, and it will have its, you know, counteracting sound that will alert an AI who is patrolling. And I mean, I love that because, you know, I don't have to worry about, oh, I totally knocked over this tub and they totally didn't realize that I'm, like, crouched right underneath them. But they will come and survey the area that they suspect that you're in. So you have to constantly be thinking about where your next spot is going to be and what your next action is going to be.
And where you want to lure
people. And where you want to lure people. And there's a lot of bricks. There's a lot of glass bottles around. You have the ability to craft items like nail bombs and smoke bombs out of everyday things, which are not necessarily, you know, easy to come by in this universe.
Nope.
You know, and I check every fucking room, every fucking corner for a piece of shrapnel or some cloth or some booze that I'm not drinking.
This game has made Pandalicious pensive and attentive, mm-hmm. which are two very difficult things
for me to have in reality.
To get Panda to do
in reality. And I love that. Like, and at first, the first 45 minutes of this game, I felt like the pacing was very slow. If it even moved, it was at a crawl. And it wasn't until.
But it was deliberate.
It was a very deliberate pacing. And, you know, some people don't like being emotionally manipulated. You know, and I know in a lot of my...
And this game emotionally manipulates
from the jump. They already are like, yeah, you think things are fine now? We're going to take away this thing. What? Yeah, we're going to make you watch, too. Yep.
Remember that thing that you were really attached to?
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone.
You have no way of getting it back.
Yep. You thought you were going to have a companion cube?
No, you didn't. We took it away from you.
You couldn't even get close to that cube before we blew that
curb stomped that cube in high def and put the video on your phone.
Oh, you think kids are safe? You think kids are safe? No, fuck those kids.
Oh man, kids are the first ones to go in this world. You know, survival of the fittest, Darwin has it right in this scenario. And I mean, like I said...
Well, I don't know that it's right. It is what it is.
So I mean, you're dealing with non-infected. You're dealing with hunters. People who will take people who think they're brave enough and brazen enough to go into a city to salvage for, you know, to live. and will kill them for the clothes off their backs and the and their shoes. You know, because money ain't shit in this world. Drake would not know what to do with himself.
It's just paper.
It is paper.
Okay, you better make some new friends real quick, homie.
New friends who know how to
put
nails on a bat.
Because all your homies done turn.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And there are notes everywhere. You know, people leaving dying words and messages of love and all that stuff.
And those are actually really sad at a bunch of different points.
Oh, man. Literally, there's one situation, and this will be the last thing I really bring up about it, because it's further on in the game, but you're in an area, and it looks like they've turned it into a kindergarten.
Yeah.
Like, because in the kindergarten room that I work in, because I am an aide in a kindergarten room, or at least I was, or will be, and on our floor, we've
been playing Bioshock too much.
We have a mat that has, it's multicolored, like a puzzle piece. And it's got the numbers all the way up to 10. And somebody went and put this in the game. And literally the minute I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, there were kids here.
Yeah, it was really emotional.
These were little kids here.
And then she picked up one of their drawings.
And I was like, oh no. And it was horrible because then another note pretty much said, like, if things get really bad, I'll make it quick. And then on the floor, etched in like this dark, I'm assuming, crayons? But probably not, said they didn't suffer. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I could not imagine being in a real life situation like this. And that is the whole point.
Panda got mad sad, y'all.
I got so sad.
She saved the game and turned it off a couple moments later.
I was like, yeah, I gotta take a break. Like, and Ninja's like, but I want to see you take these people. I'm like, I know you do, but I've been doing this game for I'm like, I need an emotional minute. Like, emotional I need some time minute. Right now.
Naughty Dog made me have an emotional minute.
Man, several, actually. And I mean, and I think this game is very, very good because, I mean, you have a companion who's not necessarily Elizabeth from Bioshock Infinite.
Well, as far as support, but definitely.
But I mean, I feel like she grows. It grows with you because I'm at a point where she does have a weapon with her. I do think later on I may offer up more of them as we come across them in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm expecting the next one to get passed off pretty soon. So she will become more and more of a stronger ally instead of an escort. But at the beginning, you know, Joel has a very, I have to protect you, I have to do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she really doesn't want to be that damsel in distress. She wants to be a viable asset to the team. It's never about getting me to point B so that you don't have to deal with me anymore. She was in it from the start to be viable. Right. And to be credible. You know, and it takes him forever to even be willing to let her help him in one of the missions. And I have to say, this her AI was very good because I fucked up several times where I really should have gotten, you know, I should have taken a bloater to the face. And she, like, would distract it long enough for me to throw my Molotov and call it a day. So, like, they went up and beyond my expectations of what the AI was going to be like and the world was going to be like, and I just have to slow clap it for Naughty Dog right now.
Yeah, it really is a fantastic experience. I'm not nearly as far into the game as Panda is, because like I said, I picked it up more towards the end of the week after E3, once I got the all clear on the, it's actually not a survival horror game. And I was like, alright, well, we'll give it a shot. But I have to say that the opening, it was probably one of the most emotional, I should say, openings to a game that I've ever played. I actually had to stop after the opening and be like, okay, I see you guys are going to play with my heart this game. Okay, well, I got something for that ass, but just not right this minute, though, because I need a minute.
Where my Kleenex at?
I just like...
I got dust in my eye.
I got an eyelash in my eye. So I'm
allergic to sadness.
Who's not allergic to sadness?
I need my Benadryl.
Right? So, but after I got past that point, I have to give it up to Naughty Dog. I think that the experience that they've put together is really so well done. Just the experience that I've had on really focusing on your needing to understand stealth. You're needing to understand the environment around you. So not just I'm in a room, but okay, I'm in a room. There are three exits. There's one right in front of me. There's one to the left. There are four enemies in this room. One's a fast moving one. I have three bullets. I don't know if there are any other pieces of ammo in this room. And I only have one bandage, so I can't make any more shivs. I have got to be very thoughtful about how I make it out of this room.
And it really is room to room.
It really and truly is. And I take my hat off to Naughty Dog because they have created a game that really, truly emphasizes and rewards you for using strategy to overcome the puzzles.
Over brute strength. And there are many, there will be many challenges that will really require you to not fight or to fight strategically. So not to go after everyone, but go after the people who are in the way of your victory.
Yeah.
It really will. And I absolutely love that. And I mean, I've only encountered 3 different kinds of infected right now, which I'll talk about briefly right now, is that you get your basic infected, and they're stalkers, and they, you know, run straight at you the minute that they detect you in a room. And if more than 3 of them get on you, they can overpower you, and you have to sprint out so that you can regroup. After them, you'll get clickers, and they've been infected for quite a while now. And half their face has been completely run over by, you know, this spore-like look. And they have no eyes anymore, and all they do is they respond to sounds. So you really have to be very careful about them. And you cannot just walk up to them and melee attack them, because they're pretty much a one-hit kill type of thing. Until you upgrade your shivs. Later on, when you upgrade your shiv to full power, you can defend them rushing you. Mm. But before that happens, the only way to really take out a clicker is with a boomstick, like a shotgun, multiple shots to the head, a melee weapon that has, like, knives on it or nails on it, or with a quick shiv from behind. And the stealth approach is probably the best one ever out of all of them, because the other ones make more sound, which can attract more of them if they're in the area. So get comfortable with your shivs, ladies and gentlemen, because you most certainly are going to need them. And the last one I encountered is a bloater, and they've been infected everywhere for super, super, super long. They're like brutes, essentially. They're big, they're kind of slow, but if they get too close to you, they literally will grab Joel's face from his mouth and rip his head off that way. They'll rip him from his jaw. And it's gross. And they show it to you, too. So you don't want that. So you don't want to see that happen to Joel.
I don't want to see that.
Nope. And he's like, yeah! And then you hear snap. That's it. They're like peeling him like a banana.
No.
Him like a nut.
No. Mr. Joel is so not
And I don't
here.
Know if we're going to encounter any other...
Of course you are. That can't just be it.
I mean, I can't imagine how else they could, but that doesn't mean that I won't have it in store. But those are my experiences in Last of Us right now. I have not plugged in my keys yet for the multiplayer experience. From the gameplay that I saw, though, it looks very similar to how it works in Uncharted, except, you know, when you're playing a match mode, it's really one against all, and you're fighting not only other players, but you're playing
AI
infecteds also. So it's not like a team. Like, there might be one team of 3, and they're fighting another team of 3, and they're also fighting infecteds on top of that.
Wow.
So it's very, very much like the game itself. It's pretty much every team member for themselves. Which it should be in this type of game, I think.
It is about being the last of us.
Exactly. And they've done a tremendous job on that. And the soundtrack system, I think the music accompaniments, because I wouldn't even say that it's fully like an orchestral whatever, but it's very, the tones are very deliberate. Any cues that are musical are very simple, and you need to learn them. You need to, because there's no do-over. There's no whoops, because once you whoops, now everyone's on to you, and you're fucked.
Yeah. You're dead, people in your party are dead.
Ellie's been shot like 8 times. get used to your shots. I would say, in terms of flaws, though, because there's some small hiccups.
I think I know what you're going to talk about, and I don't think it's so much a flaw as much as deliberately making things difficult.
Oh, no, no. No, I was actually not going to talk about that, because there's this one gun that has a horrible lean on it. And it's a sniper rifle, and I'm usually
great. That you can't steady because you're nervous.
Because you can't, because you're nervous about what's happening. But that's not what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
So in certain areas, I've noticed, because I went to the approach of clearing out entire buildings so that I could salvage everything in the building.
Mm-hmm.
you know, because that's how you power up your ability to craft things and how you level yourself up.
And how we're leveling your gear up.
Yeah, and all that stuff. That's how you do it, is by salvaging everything you possibly can.
Pieces and parts in order to craft new things or upgrade existing ones.
Yes. And I went through this whole building, and I went through 3 floors. And it took me a bit to get my pattern, but I got it. And when I cleared the whole room, those small little bump, bump, bumps of tension, they went away, so I knew that the area was clean. But then just to make sure, to double check and triple check and quadruple check, I would listen, and I would see an AI roaming on the floor below me.
So that's what we got for you this week. You can catch more of the stuff that we're thinking about playing around with and exploring by checking out our written reviews and previews on the website www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You can catch our podcast, as always, on our home website www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. that is esh.co. And like I said, that will bounce into the long address, but we have other shows that you should be listening to along with our fabulous podcast.
That's right, because you're not just going to catch our podcast on the website. You can catch it in iTunes, on your desktop application in the music store, in the iTunes podcast application on your iOS device, as well as in the Microsoft store by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting the subscribe button to subscribe to our podcast to ensure that you get brand new episodes when we put them out each week. But you should also be checking out other shows that are on our network, like Tuesdays, Boston Bass Brigade, co-hosted by our homeboy King Baby Duck. They talk about video games and geek stuff too, but they also talk about the indie music scene, movies, TV, pretty much everything that falls under the geek spectrum. They're gonna have thoughts about it. Every once in a while, they even go to the theater. I mean, those dudes are like out there.
They're dapper motherfuckers.
They are. Then on Wednesday, you get a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro Podcast, which is held down by our homeboy Deuces Wild, and that's all about new beats and soundscapes for your ear holes. It's gonna make love to your ear holes.
And then Thursdays, because there's always gotta be that one day that you just get your issues out.
True that. True that, Panda.
So when you've got issues, we got a guy who's got issues.
That's right. The issues guy holding down the issues program. You can call in, ask questions, share your issues live.
Because he certainly is going to share his.
Because he's got opinions, and you're going to know about them. And they're kind of freaking hilarious. So you need to check that out. And for the rest of your nerd needs, well, we've got you covered. You can interact with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. Ask us questions. Let us know if there's something that you want us to check out and have an opinion upon that we may share with you via podcast form or even review. If you've got questions, we got answers. We're always down to conversate. You can also hit us up and follow us on Twitter. For all of the news and everything that's going on in the Land of Esh, you want to go to twitter.com/ESH News. Make sure you subscribe, and that way, whenever we put out new articles, new podcast episodes, just questions in general and stuff that we think is cool, you can check it out there. If you want to check out all the individuals that make up the Land of Esh, then you want to go to my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list that has everyone that's involved with the Land of Esh through all the different websites and communities that we belong in. You gotta check it out. We are some funny freaking people. I guarantee you, you add us to your Twitter stream, your Twitter stream will be so full of wind, it might actually hurt you.
It will hurt you, in fact.
Physically.
Guaranteed pain.
But the good kind.
But the good kind.
From a place of truth and love.
It's like stubbing your toe, but finding a $50 bill next to your stub toe.
Yeah, it's
so like ow, ooh, yay, a 50.
Yeah, yeah, it negates the pain after you have it.
Because then you're like, hey, I can pay one of my bills on
it. It's a pleasure principle. So on that note, I'm going to turn to my sister and say, hey, Panda.
Yeah.
What shit you digging this week? What
air conditioning.
Wait, I said that a couple weeks ago. You can't take my shit, man.
Yes, I can.
All right. Fine.
Air conditioning and puppies.
Okay, those are good.
What shit are you digging this week?
Fireball whiskey. Not because they gave us any, although if they did, it would be really sweet. But I am on it. I love it. You know, you gotta be 21 to drink responsibly, but Fireball whiskey.
Well then.
Tastes like heaven, burns like hell.
Wait, it tastes like having birds in hell?
No, tastes like heaven burns like hell. Fireball whiskey. Oh,
tastes like heaven burns like hell. I heard it was like having birds.
Yeah, I don't know what you heard.
But why are you laying eggs in hell?
But I'm not. What I am is Ninja Sista.
And I'm obviously Pandalicious.
And we will see you next week, guys.
Adios, amigos.